Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Well, welcome back, Scott.
Well, thank you. We're back.
And we're welcoming
and
back.
We're live. And here we go.
Live. Not an encore episode this week.
Well, it's been a busy summer, hasn't it?
It has. Yeah, it's been a lot going on. So I guess we appreciate the listeners being patient with us through the busy times, and we're glad to be back.
Yes, thank you for your patience, and this does not mean that we may not need you to be patient in the future.
Right.
So
right.
I'm saying thank you for the past, you know, patience, and maybe anticipating some future patience.
Absolutely,
yeah. We're going to do our best.
All right,
we'll do our best to talk. You do your best to listen, and it's all we can ask.
That's all we can do. All right. Well, my brother had shared a video with me a couple weeks ago, and I was listening to it in my headphones actually while I was doing a little yard project, and it was a story of a guy who was a Jewish man, and he was sharing the story of his daughter coming to faith in Jesus, and that really was a challenge to him. He did not believe that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, and when his daughter did believe in that, it really challenged him, and I just saw a lot of similarities in his story to my life and being in the One Right Church. I think there was some similarities there because...
Well, I mean, certainly he probably would have had a lot more behind his than you would have in the One Right Church, in that he had, you know, millennia of Hebrew scriptures and traditions built up around that about who the Messiah would be. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, it was those traditions that were built up around it that made you kind of recognize, oh, I had traditions built up around my thing too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The first thing that stood out to me when we were listening to this that kind of surprised me was that he said that he did not believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah, like you said, from millennia before. But he also said, I never read the Old Testament. I never read our scriptures. I just knew from our traditions. I was just told my whole life that Jesus wasn't the Messiah, so that's what I believed. And that just definitely resonated.
That's what got your attention?
That's what got my attention. Because that was really true for me too, is I didn't spend much time at all reading my Bible. I'll just be honest. Because I was more, I had more faith in my traditions. I was told that I was okay. I was told that I was in the One Right Church.
Well, it probably wasn't, oh, I have so much faith in my traditions. Probably that your tradition made you think you didn't need something different.
Right, right.
You didn't need to read your Bible or discover it for yourself or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. So that one was interesting that he didn't really... He strongly believed that Jesus was not who he said he was, but he didn't have any scripture to back it up. It was just his traditions that made him believe that. And then when his daughter...
Can I just say one thing about that? I mean, it was just his traditions. Some of it is just his traditions. Some of it is... I think there are a number of people, and I don't know if he was one or not, who don't want it to be true.
Mm. Yeah.
See, there is quite a bit at stake. If Jesus is who Jesus claims to be, there is a lot at stake.
Yeah.
That he is the, you know, King of Kings and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that means that I have to adjust to him, and I don't want to adjust my life.
Right.
So there's a lot at stake in whether Jesus is who he says he is. So some of it is I might be blinded, but some of it is I might choose blindness because I don't want to see that.
Yeah. And we talked about that a lot. I would say that was my experience, that I didn't want to have to change my lifestyle and my traditions. As long as I did the right things, I really felt like I could kind of do whatever I wanted, as long as I checked the right boxes, showed up to the right church events and things like that. And I didn't have to change my life to do that. It wasn't hard to live by the traditions at Followers. So yeah, and I can attest to the fact that when you do see Jesus for who he says he is, it does result in a change. Like you have to do something with that. What are you going to do with Jesus? I've heard people say that so many times, is what are you going to do? And my traditions didn't require any of that. So I think that's
right. That is kind of the point.
Yeah.
Is that what, you know, there are two things there. There's the is he or isn't he?
Yeah.
And then the next question is, okay, what do I do about it?
Yeah.
And yeah. So, I mean, in some respect, the is he or isn't he question is the first one to settle.
Right.
And, you know, how did this guy settle that question?
Is he or isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, his daughter challenged him. And because his response, you know, this gets more into the Jewish angle on this, which I don't have the same connection to, as you pointed out, but his daughter challenged him, and he was saying, you can't be a Jew and a Christian at the same time. He said, you can't go north and south at the same time. And she said, Dad, you can. That's not true. And he was offended by that. He was challenged by that. He took her challenge of his traditions as a personal attack, and he immediately started to try and dismiss her, discredit her, tell her she's crazy, all these things to not deal with it. And then she made one request. She said, Dad, would you please just read the Bible for yourself? Just read the Bible for yourself and come up with your own conclusion. And so he was willing to do that. And I've not been asked that exact thing in the past at Followers, but I have been told that you're putting too much into the traditions of the church and not enough into what the Bible says. And I was challenged that way. And so I had to, there did come a time where I had to read the Bible for what the Bible says, not for what I wanted it to say.
Well, I think that's, you know, I mean, in some respect, here are all cards on the table, right?
Yeah.
That this is why we want to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because that is really the challenge that you would love to give to anybody who listens.
Absolutely.
Is yeah. Read the Bible for yourself and figure it out for yourself and see if Jesus's claims are true and see if, how does that stack up to the traditions that you've been taught or the things that you've received? And I think that is... I think that's only fair.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if I decided for some reason I didn't believe in gravity.
Yeah.
And you said, oh, Scott, you need to believe in gravity. You need to, you know, check it out for yourself. I mean, what am I going to do?
Right.
I'm going to either have to figure out is gravity real or not.
Yeah.
And maybe do some experiments, maybe check into it myself, or I'm just going to continue to like fall.
Yeah.
You know, or
and not know why.
Head off a cliff and like, oh, that was mysterious.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not the best analogy, but it's similar. I mean, I think figure it out for yourself is a reasonable thing. And, you know, there, I can't say how many people throughout history have responded to this same challenge, really.
Yeah.
To say, you know, figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can read the Bible, then you're a candidate to figure it out for yourself, really.
Right. And he admitted in this video that he did read it with the intention to prove his daughter wrong and to prove that Jesus was not the Messiah. And he, so that was the angle he went. But it's, It's like you brought up the gravity thing. Gravity is gravity, whether you believe it is or not. And Jesus is who he says he is, whether you believe it or not. But you're going to find that truth in the Bible. And so I would just say read it anew, they say, or just for the first time, like forget.
Well, I don't know if you can forget, but I mean, I think that, I'm going to put words in your mouth, you would be happy.
Yeah.
If somebody were to read the Bible with the same thing in their mind that this guy did.
Sure.
Read it to prove your traditions.
Yeah.
Read to prove that Jesus isn't who he says he is.
Right.
You know, I mean, in some respect, you can come to the Bible if you're reading it thoughtfully.
Yeah.
With any number of motives, and you know, we believe that it is a living book that's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, it says.
Yeah.
And that it is the sword of the Spirit, that the God Spirit uses the word. Now I'm tipping my hand here, thinking, you know, I dare you in some respect to read it. And because I do think that it stands on its own, like gravity does. I mean, you trip, you're going to fall every time, and it's going to stand every time.
Yeah. Well, I do. I'm just sitting here thinking about how, what could compare to the way he felt about that? Like, I'm not suggesting that anyone at the One Right Church or any One Right Church or really anyone reads it to prove that Jesus was not the Messiah. That's not in the context of where I came from.
Right.
But what is in the context of where I came from is the Bible will deceive you. You'll be deceived by reading the Bible because you don't understand it well enough. And I would challenge that idea. I would say, read it and see if you're deceived by it, because I don't think you will be. I would say, read it trusting that it is what it says it is. Paul writes that it is, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and rebuke and reproof and living in righteousness. And I think you're going to find those things in the Bible, and the fear and the idea that you're going to be deceived by it because you don't understand it is just going to keep people from reading the Bible. That just keeps people from reading it, when you have that fear that I'm not going to understand it anyway.
Well, I mean, if you can understand Harry Potter, or if you can understand Louis L'Amour, I mean, really, you can. And maybe, you know, at least from your background, isn't there maybe an acceptable recommendation, but, you know, the King James is harder to read than Louis L'Amour. And so I think that there's a sense in which, you know, if you have to get an easier to read thing, that's okay. Then go back. Then go back to to the King James. That's okay.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, it's readable.
Yeah.
And in that, the idea that it would deceive you is really interesting, mm-hmm. when, in fact, the Bible itself claims to be truth.
Right.
You know, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, your word is truth, John 17. And so, I think that's really interesting that would be considered a problem, because you've got to decide then, okay, in Pilate's words, right, what is truth?
Right.
And I think you're on good ground, in historical ground, when you read the Bible for what is true.
Yeah, Art. And it was, again, back to the traditions, it was our traditions that told us that we had to have a certain man be able to interpret the scripture to us. And that's just not the case. God is revealing himself in his word, and he's doing it in a way that we can understand. And one of the there were apps that I would use when I was still really nervous about reading anything other than the King James Version. So there are apps, and you can get them right on your computer or phone, and they'll run right down the scripture in two different, like the ESV and the King James on either side, and you can compare those, and you can...
Well, that'll at least maybe give you some modern words with the old words, if that's a problem, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, read that for yourself. The other part of it, and we've talked about it a little bit, but he was... this guy in the video was surprised by what he read because he was told I can't remember exactly how he said it, but he would say something like, I was either told or I just came to believe somehow. And I've felt that way so much.
See, like, that's a really good way to express it, isn't it?
Yeah. Or I've just came to believe somehow. And I have so many things where I will say something like, well, we were just told to stay out of the Old Testament. And I don't know if I ever specifically was told, don't read the Old Testament, but it was just an understanding that I had that we don't read the Old Testament and we don't read Revelation. And so anyway, I just thought that was interesting to hear someone else say, I was either told or I came to believe somehow, and then said it. But he came to believe somehow that the New Testament was a book to teach you how to hate Jewish people. That's what his tradition had led him to believe somehow. He came to believe that. And I just thought that was interesting. Like, what was the parallel for me? And what did I think the New Testament was? And I really think I thought the New Testament was a rule book on how to live your life in a way to please God. And the Bible really becomes more clear to you, I think, when you understand that it is a story to tell you about Jesus, that it is the Old Testament and the New Testament is really a story about Jesus. It's an account. I don't know if story is the right word, but it is.
Well, it's a true story.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a fictional story. Sure. So a story works because it's a true story. Yeah.
So that's the other thing, I guess, when you're reading, read it looking for Jesus. Don't read it looking for how do I please God, because Jesus is going to be how you please God.
And that's what you're trying to, you know, you're really trying to get people to, you know, essentially argue with Jesus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to read it to say, okay, how am I going to deal with Jesus in this? And that would be sufficient.
Yeah.
You know, not how am I going to agree with Jesus or how am I going to whatever, but just how am I, what does Jesus say here? Who is Jesus here? And, you know, do I like him or not?
Yeah. Yeah. How do I respond to the one who's claiming to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Yeah. Yeah. And that's really what I wanted to talk about today. I just saw those comparisons, and I would love it if the result from listeners was to read their Bible and see that Jesus is who he says he is. And I do believe that that results in a changed life that your traditions are never going to result in.
Well, you know, I mean, that's what makes people nervous in all fairness. And so, I mean, I guess it's fair that you warned them.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, this is not kind of a sideline thing.
No.
This is like at the middle, at the very center of what it means to claim to be in the one right church. You're going to claim you're going to be in the one right church. You should, you know, have to deal with the book about the one right person, you know, I mean, really. Yeah. So I guess I want to encourage you just to go ahead and read it and wrestle with it and, you know, I mean, and take your time. I mean, we don't need you to make a decision tomorrow. You take your time reading it.
Yeah. Trying to decide if I want to say that. I'm going to go ahead.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, people might be listening and wondering, why is this the challenge? Like, why do you think I don't know about Jesus or something? And I just maybe need to clarify from my background that I did go to the Followers of Christ Church, but Jesus was, we would sing about him in the hymns, and we would end our prayers in Jesus' name, but we didn't talk about Jesus. We did not talk about him because we talked about our traditions, the way we please God as being the one right church. Jesus just never came up, and that sounds terrible to say, but it's just the truth. And I think that that's what will be helpful for people if they think about that.
And And in all fairness, again, and I do this every time you say something like that, don't I? This happens a lot.
Yeah.
There are a lot of churches where Jesus doesn't come up.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the point of our podcast is we want him to come up and we want, you know, we want you to meet him. Yeah. And so I hope that you'll do whatever it takes to, you know, read. And I would say if you're going to take Mark's challenge and you're going to read the Bible, it would be great to start in the New Testament, which is this kind of the center of the Bible, like Matthew or John or something, where you're going to, you know, see directly a gospel account or a, you know, an eyewitness account of Jesus' life, and that, and start there, and then you can work forward or backwards, however you like.
But. Yeah, that's great. Well, like I said, we did sing about Jesus a lot, and one of those songs was More About Jesus, and it says, "More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern, Spirit of God my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine." That's what we're talking, that's talking about the Bible, clearly. And I don't know if I ever knew that while I was singing this. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know how I could have thought of anything else, but I just sang it.
And okay.
The last verse is, "More about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own, more of his kingdom's sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace."
Sing it, Mark.
Yeah.
Sing it. There you go.
That's as close as I come.
So. Well, I do. I mean, seriously, that when you see more about Jesus in his word, those are the things you see.
Yeah, exactly.
And he isn't who you thought he was, and he's better.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Scott. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.